listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly broadcast. My name is Michael Kelly and joining me this evening is Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Everyone, glad to be here.
And tonight our discussion is integrating the mind, body, and spirit.
It's going to be a good one. I look forward to this evening.
Oh, absolutely. This is a fascinating topic. And as we were talking about just prior to the start of the broadcast, this is something that had come up 2 to 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
We talked about it in the chat room. And You were interested in specifically things like Tai Chi and talking martial arts and going from there. So just to let everybody know, Dr. Kelly, although he is in the chat room, joining us that way, he's taking a little break. So Michael and I are going to wing this by ourselves and a little bit of summer programming. So joining Michael in taking the lead, and I'm going to be the support. We're going to have some pretty good discussions over the next few weeks, I imagine. So looking forward to it, Michael. It's always great to work with you.
Well, we're going to have an excellent discussion this evening. But before we get into the meat of our talk tonight, we're going to go over our abbreviated principles of belief. These are the 9 principles that really kind of describe and kind of explain what it is to be a metaphysical humanist. We have 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence.
Wow, nice job, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Nice job. We were kind of in a little bit of a discussion about who would read the principles tonight, and I thought Michael would do a great job, and you did. So,
well,
nice work.
The real skill goes to the writers, but that's just me kissing up.
So, mind, body, spirit. Let's get going.
Well, I was just thinking about that. One of the principles, number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, is exactly what we're talking about. Now, 2 to 3 weeks ago, we were having a problem with our broadcast server. It was down, so we had a nice, lively discussion in the chat room that night. And we discussed a range of things, but towards the end, we had been discussing, things like entanglement and meditation, and we brought up Tai Chi. I had mentioned it was something I had been interested in. And I am very much still new to this topic. I've been reading into it a little bit, and I was very excited to have the opportunity to talk with Dr. Hunter about this evening.
And well, Tai Chi is in the category of martial arts. And for those who don't know, when you see these little clips or vignettes of people doing this very slow motion, pick up one leg, move an arm, that kind of thing, it's like that is called Tai Chi. And they're making gestures, like there's the swan movement, and they have names for all the different movements and how you segue from one to the other. It's very disciplined. be surprised. But it's just very gentle and internal, and it's wonderful. When you go further advanced into Tai Chi, there are swords, and there is this other level of sparring and kind of the warrior. So it's a whole different approach to the martial arts. Other martial arts like Taekwondo, which, by the way, is the martial arts that uses upper and lower body round and straight movements. That's how you isolate Taekwondo. But there's South and North Korea kind of Taekwondo, and it's very political. I'm going to say that. And then there, of course, we can go into Jiu-Jitsu, there's Kung Fu, and...
What about, have you heard much about Aikido?
I haven't looked into that very much, to be honest. But each of the martial arts has a different approach. To say that martial arts is all the same in one way could be true when we're integrating the mind, emotion, physical, and spiritual. And we'll get to that in a minute. But each of the martial arts takes a very different approach. It's from a different country. The training is from it's cultured into a particular society. Hmm. And that's how it's kind of expanded all over the world and evolved more into the 20th century. Into Western society. So, you know, it's made a slow kind of emerging into North America.
And we've really seen it blow up in a big way in modern society since in the last 20 years. Because, you know, one thing that's that I find really inspiring and really fascinating about Tai Chi is the physical control of the body to do the smooth movements, the motions, the exquisite control that disciplined practitioner has. And one thing that's closely related is yoga in the true Hindu traditions. It's the same concept in tying your body to the chakras, the physical to the spiritual, to the energy. And you see it spring up, especially in a lot of the Eastern philosophies, and I think it took the West a little while to catch up. You know, it almost seemed as if when the Western medicine first emerged, they would look at these kind of concepts as they'd scoff at them. But I think what we're seeing in modern medicine and modern science and knowledge is there really is a direct link between the physical and the mental or the spiritual. And go ahead.
No, I completely agree. I was, I think, 30 when I took a year of Tai Chi, and life kind of happened, and I kind of left it, but not because I really wanted to. It's like I say, sometimes life happens, and you really do have to kind of dedicate yourself to it. But later, I was 37, 38, and I decided to take self-defense training, and at that time get my young girls, my kids, involved in self-defense training because I thought it would be a really great mental, physical discipline. And we started with self-defense training. Now, for anybody who's wondering, the first law of self-defense is run. So it's not about fighting, it's about how do you run and get away? So, then after about 6 months of training, I had a good think with myself, and I realized how not connected in so many ways I was between my mental and emotional and my physical. And so I'll confide this with you. Confess, I suppose, a better word, but In my lifetime, I had a particular defense mechanism that if somebody would come up behind me and startle me, or, you know, when somebody puts their, like, arm or something around your neck, my instant reaction was to elbow them so hard I could probably break a rib, because it was an instantaneous defense motion that I had. I didn't like that about myself. And so after some thinking about it, I went back to one of the masters at the school. And I said, I want to open up that space of response, you know, from that instinctual kind of animus that, you know, go for the kill. I want to open that up, and I want to learn how to open that up. And he said, that is, you know, he praised me, and I don't mind sharing that. It's like, that is one of the best reasons to take martial arts, is for the mental training.
The discipline.
And absolutely. But I got more than that. I mean, not only did I learn about that space from reaction to response, which was an enormous freedom for me, I learned about the power inside the body and the balance of emotion. That as you integrate better, and then it becomes spiritual. The lessons and the discipline, the interaction with one another, I think, and understanding the hierarchy, that's spiritual, but it's also disciplined. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie with students, because you're all there for the same cause, is spiritual, but it's also disciplined. But what I got was more than that. To be able to do a run at something, I'm dyslexic, and that spatial thing was weird. You have to run up, do a side kick, and break a board. Well, I couldn't even measure my distance, let alone do that. So with the master's help, I'd walk up to the board, and I'd pace myself backward, and then I could learn space. It was so, I learned all these, not only space in myself, but space outside of myself. So that was huge learning curves. And the more you become integrated, I think, mentally, it's not just intellectual, it's the mentality and how we think. You're learning how you think. Your emotions become empowered in the calmest way, and your physicality, obviously, becomes stronger. And you learn how to yell, but you yell from your diaphragm. And so all of that brought me a peace that integrated my spirituality. And I, as life went, I was in it for a few years. I got to a red stripe, which is just a couple of stripes away from a black belt. And I felt confident. I didn't go there to get a black belt. I went there to study myself. And, of course, then life happens and so on. Trust me, if I ever decided to do it again, I would absolutely start over, because the training, you know, all the way up is worth it to do again. Mm. I feel I never lost the comfort of living inside my body, which I think is the greatest benefit. And the mental disciplines that went with that. Can I be lazy? Yes. Do I have all the issues everybody else does? Absolutely. But it's that integration. And like I say, that space of response, to choose a response and to have a better instinct of what's truer in the environment than being reactive, was a blessing for me. It was a huge self-awareness, self-awakening, so I could be in better control of my emotions.
It was empowering.
Totally empowering. And yes, absolutely. Physically, the exercise, man, that's a killer. But, I mean, the first 6 months, I think I was vomiting a lot. But I had put my mind to it that what I wanted out of it, I was willing to deal with the physical stress. But again, that's more aggressive than Tai Chi. The Tai Chi, it's, you say it's slower and kinder, but the discipline to do that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And again, as it evolves. The thing is, you learn patterns. You learn what all the motions are. And so that in, it's like learning the steps to a dance. So that's a discipline, and to remember them and in sequence, and mm-hmm. then to be with a group, and it's the synchronicity of the group. It's fabulous.
Yeah, and I think that's an important aspect of it as well, which is an interesting avenue of approach when discussing the connection between the mind and the body and the soul. And that is, when you're in that group setting, if you haven't seen it in real life, you've seen it in movies, group of people practicing Tai Chi in the park. And let's think about that group dynamic that comes into play. Is there, and you talk about that shared energy that those people are going through.
Yeah.
And
wow.
You become, for that moment, with those people, synchronized, entangled, like we've talked about, and it's that community aspect, just like with the other martial arts. And when I'd been looking into Tai Chi, I had also come across Aikido, which is a Japanese martial art, where it's all about, what I knew going in was it had a lot to do with momentum, using your attacker's energy against them. And also very safe, you know, you're not really trying to hurt anybody, you're deflecting. And when I looked into it a little bit more, it's an interesting notion where it's, you're not only are you trying to defend yourself, you also protect your attacker from injury, is one of the lines in the description of some of the things I've read, which is really kind of an interesting approach for a martial art, that you're actually trying to protect your attacker from injury, that you're just simply trying to defuse the situation.
And that's one of the biggest things in any martial arts, to be honest, is never use greater force against someone than has been used toward you. Mm. So, like, if somebody calls you names, you don't hit them. If somebody comes at you with a knife, you don't pull a gun. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's only use the energy back toward the opponent. If that's the case, if you can't run, it's like if somebody grabs you and let's say pins you against a wall, just go limp and drop and then run.
Yeah.
See, there's other things, but you're right. If it does come to a sparring or an attack, there's a responsibility. You don't want to harm anyone. You only want to protect and look out for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a deep spirituality to that and a respect for life that is inspiring in that. And it's really hard to even, when you really get into the depth of the connection between mind and body and spirit, it almost really becomes hard to distinguish between them. They're so intertwined and entangled with each other. They're so interdependent on each other. One affects the other.
Totally agree. Yeah.
I mean, it's like looking at one whole thing from different angles, different sides, but it is all one whole thing of our being. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is when it comes to integrating the mind, the body, and the spirit, how do you feel the spirit comes into play with that? I mean, you can talk a lot about the mind and the body, but really what role does the spirit play in that?
You know, the spirit's ever present. I think it's, that's where spirit in a body. That happens, at birth and breathing air. Biology, unfortunately, in my view, rules. We go through all these phases of life in our bodies, and then the body takes over. And to try to reclaim that, the spirit is always present. And I believe that truly, the spirit, our spirit is always totally in support of us. And we see that in hope. You know, I had a discussion with my daughter today, actually with both my daughters in the last couple of days, about how we get disappointed in people. Mm. And I said, I think it's a good thing that I'm disappointed in people. Because when I stop being disappointed in people, it means I've lost hope.
Yes.
And when I stop being angry about where we're at, means I have surrendered my optimism. which means then to me that my spirit is diminished. I have met people with broken spirits, and they have no hope. And that's what I mean by our spirit is ever present. So when you become more attuned to that balance of mind, emotion, and body, the spirit is more awake. The spirit can participate more, and you become a little bit, I think, even if you're not conscious, because it's not to say that everybody who does martial arts is like evolved.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And they're not all metaphysicians. So,
of course.
But there is that kindness that you referred to, Michael,
mm-hmm.
and respect for others. To me, that is the spirit awakening.
And I think that's really amongst those who take it to heart and take it seriously. You know, I've spoken to and read about different dojos and places of learning, gyms where they have sparring, and there is a code. You take somebody of equal size and proportions, or you use the energy needed, and there's always, you never do more than is necessary, and you always respect the other fighter or the other sparring partner. And, you know, it's the full spectrum of life, though. You know, with martial arts, as with anything else, you can do it in a corrupt way, or you can do it in an honest way. And
well, I agree. I think that as you enter something, so let's say, and I really hope you do, Michael, so you enter Tai Chi, for instance, you enter first for yourself, and then it extends beyond yourself into the sharing of that, and then all those degrees of consciousness that begin to shift and change and expand, and that's, I think it's one of the safer, in the world that we have that's so convoluted, I believe it's one of the safer places to explore who you are. It's not like group therapy, you know. It's not like one or two dimensional to go play sports or something else. There's an intent, but you go there because you want to for yourself. That's the first intent, and the benefits for yourself, as we've discussed. And then you gradually expand, and the social network, and knowing that there's others out there, all very different, but likened to a kinship of energy, that you never lose that.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
The only other thing I might just add in here is, in working with energy, I believe this, that during... or incubation, everything is fed into the umbilical cord. So we're fed that way. And being biological beings, entities, I think that everything hits us in the gut. So that umbilical cord. So it's that's to me where the emotions are. And, of course, that is the emotional center working with chakras or anything. Mm-hmm. It's that umbilical cord and just up. So it's if there is stress, if there is, everybody gets affected differently with stress and releasing stress and integrating who they are. But I suggest to anybody, if you're having a little resistance somewhere, think yellow, breathe in yellow, release yellow, image that digestive, upper digestive area down to the umbilical cord, and just relax. And then what happens then, if you can catch it in time, it doesn't start sending these electrical impulses to the brain, where the brain then gets wonky and says yes, no. And you know, you have the devil and the angel on each shoulder, mm-hmm. little anxiety attacks, and all the chemicals go. So, when you're thinking about something and wanting to go into a new venture or a new exploration, even... with your own self-study, just bring it right down into your body. Breathe in that air. Give it a color. And just relax that digestive area and the umbilical cord. So, like I say, everything hits us in the gut first.
I really actually...
That gut feeling thing,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that hits home for me, absolutely. I'm really happy that you brought that up. You know, chakras is something that ties really into what we're talking about tonight, and that's something that I've, you know, been looking into as well. It's separate, of course, from Tai Chi. There are different traditions and philosophies, but...
Well, maybe we can talk about that on next week's program, Michael, and I'd be happy to do a chakra meditation, my... you know, the one that I've developed, it's an integrating mind-body, you know, integration process of a chakra meditation. I'm just saying we could do that and talk more about and talk more about the different, like, different ideas out there of how to meditate using colors in the body. And so we'll do it.
I think that sounds great. I'd like to have that conversation, you know, broadcast or no.
But, all right. Well, I see that we do have, and it's that time. Great discussion, Michael. Thanks for the idea and bringing that up.
Oh, absolutely. But I did the easy part.
No, it's great going back and forth in the topic. We do have some people in the chat who would like a card pulled. And again, for those new to our program or listening on the archives, the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and we draw them, and it's just to tweak your consciousness, just to give you a new thought, and as Dr. Kelly would say, something to get you thinking.
Absolutely.
Michael, Dr. Edwards up first. Do you want to draw a card for Dr. Edward, please?
Well, I am always happy to draw a card for Dr. Edward. And this evening, this one's been popping up a little bit lately. This is wild card number 6, Entropy.
Ah.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
You know, entropy took me a little while to grasp. But high entropy, meaning buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever driven to a town or a city and you can just feel the buzz? And like there's an energy that's weird? You know, I think that those are higher entropy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me clarify. Am I hearing like... And the energy feels off, where it's just not right. It kind of it's almost like a poisoned well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I had thought so, and I swear this is random, but in the chat, Dr. Edward said that I think he had that card pulled either last week or the week before. So,
You know, that Dr. Edward guy tends to have the same card week after week until his energy changes.
That's actually very true. Fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. You think of all the cards, and what are the odds? And that's where entanglement is, and I think this is where that universal energy, that we're all kind of plugged in.
Absolutely, and through just, you know, sheer luck and chance, I'm using a new deck this evening as well, so...
Ooh! See?
All
the more reason.
I believe we have Amanda next.
You know, Amanda, I just pulled number 40, relationships, for you. And this is what it says. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or co-dependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. In other words, don't be judgmental. I got to admit, sometimes I can be a little bit like that too. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to to the relationship of one thing to another. Now, when I say I'm judgmental, I have to admit that. It's taking ownership for, you know, what goes on in my mind. But it's never judgment with malice. I'd like to make that clear. Mm-hmm. It's like an opinion, and it's like a strict opinion, which can come across as a judgment. But it's not with malice, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
There's still that humanitarian in there that wishes all people would kind of like wake up. That's all.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I've recently come to grips with that myself. And I'll make it quick, but not terribly long ago, I was told that I was judgmental, which I thought, me? No, I'm not judgmental. I'm open-minded. I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Of course I'm not judgmental. And then the other day, I just happened to be thinking about something, and I was being judgmental, and then I was just in the moment of awareness, and I'm like, I was being judgmental. And I internalize it. I've always tried to hold off and try not to impose it, and I've always tried to understand that my judgment could be wrong. But I realized I'm wasting a lot of time and energy, you know, judging these things, you know, people that, well, some things are cut and dry, some things are black and white, but there is a lot of gray in the world, too, and there are people that believe differently, that have different viewpoints that I don't always agree with, but I have to realize that they didn't come to that position from necessarily a bad intention.
Well, and this is the point. We do have a judgment. Mm-hmm. It's like a strict opinion. And like you just said, some things are black and white, but that's only to you or me.
True.
And it's black and white in my set of boundaries or the way I view life, the way I live my life. But again, judgment without malice. And I think that's where I wouldn't wish harm on anyone else. And so I can have my opinions, and I'm okay with that. Look, I'm just going to get to the point. The thing is, I am not religious, as everybody knows, but I know lots of people who are religious. So I have a judgment about religion, but individuals, no matter what they believe, they're good, kind people. So my judgment is not toward people in as much as the organization and the confinements of religion. And I think that we're all evolving and that everybody is at their own place of evolvement. Mm-hmm. I get judgmental toward the people when they are imposing on others, but I still do not wish them malice. So I don't wish them harm, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to harm anybody. Just to clear that up. Maybe we should move on, Michael. I like it. Wendy is up next, I think.
And, you know, it actually is when you were saying that last bit that I pulled Wendy's card. And, oh. Wendy, I pulled number 32, sympathy and empathy.
Good one.
Malice towards no one, it's that empathy. 32. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
I like it. There's always a little message, I think, for everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes. Yeah, it resonates.
A lot of times I'll pull a card for someone else, or you will, and it hits home for me.
Yeah, but. True enough. Well, hopefully Dr. Darlene resonates with this one, number 21, Insight and Wisdom. So, Wendy just said she'd not had that card before, so it's interesting, and she said, thanks, Michael. Good one. Okay, Dr. Darlene, number 21, Insight, Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of the present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. You know, I think every day, probably every hour of every day, I'm having to kind of look into myself, insight, and hopefully apply some wisdom. A very wise child psychologist once said to me, we should never apologize for being loving and trusting. Wisdom comes with learning where to place it.
I like that a lot.
So that resonates, and hopefully that resonates for you, Dr. Darlene, in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Kelly is in the chat room. I'm so glad you're here, Dr. Kelly. Mm-hmm. He has asked for a card, so if you don't mind, Michael, I don't know.
I think we just ran out of time. I'm so sorry. I'm kidding, of course.
That's good. Dr. Kelly, I took the liberty here of just picking a card for you. So here it is. Inspiration and motivation. I kid you not. That is the card I just pulled. You know, sometimes, see, this is the thing about audio, is you have to trust each other that we are doing and everything what we say we're doing. If there was a visual here, I could hold this card up and say, duh, see, I really did pull this card. Okay, inspiration and motivation. I know you know this one, but we're going to read it out loud anyway. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. Now, just to be clear, everyone who's listening, Dr. Kelly's not on timeout from the school. He's just timeout on a few things just to lighten his load a little bit, to gather his forces. You know, I've been doing it for 10 years, kind of nonstop, 7 days a week. And this is where, you know, folks like Michael and I can step up and fill in some of the blanks and less for Dr. Kelly to think about. So, and in his own phases of life, like we all are, inspiration and motivation is like part of that gathering your spirits, as I say, and the energy. So, so just to be clear, everybody, he's not time out from the school. Everybody's like, oh no, but yeah, that's a, you know, Michael, pick a backup card for that, would you please? A supporting energy card for inspiration and motivation.
Let's see. Oh, this is just really interesting. Interesting card. I don't know if we pulled it in a while. Wild card number 8, freedom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Let's put it together. Read it out loud.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants to within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, I don't think that needs much explaining. I think that's great. We've gone inspiration, motivation to freedom. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm not saying this to Dr. Kelly for any at all. I'm not, you know, directing it in any one way. But all of us at some point need to take an inventory. You know, what inspires us? What motivates us? And what are we free to do? You know, and if we're not feeling free to do one thing, it means we have to lighten the load somewhere else. And sometimes it's where we put priorities. And that is what we were talking about at the very beginning of the program about, you know, the integration of mental, emotional, and physical. And as it's adjusting and as we go through ebbs and tides of life, phases of life, shifts of life, our priorities change. Priority changes. So which comes first? I usually think it's because we're ending certain things, but we like rhythm, we like routine, we like things to be the same. At the same time, we don't want it to be the same because we're bored.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so it's that paradox, right? So it's so we have to kind of sort it out. This is why these cards are good. If anybody at home, I'm sure lots of our students do, have little tools that you can refer to. You know, pull one of your inner oracle cards, and that gives you a good start point. You know, because sometimes we can just be overwhelmed with too much, and then we go inert, but we need something to start. So pull a card. Pull a, I don't know, some people have angel cards, some people have tarot, some people do numerology. I like Viking runes, too. The I Ching. There's so many tools out there that can be helpful to trigger our thinking. And give us a good start about how to untangle kind of where we're at, if that makes sense. Make sense, Michael?
I think it does.
I hope I got that across okay.
No, I think you did great.
I've had a great... Sorry, go ahead.
I would think I'm going the same direction that you are, and saying that we, you know, I've really enjoyed our discussion this evening, and... You know, I'm very happy that, you also emphasized just now the emotional aspect of it, which it ties in so much with everything. It's the, ties in so much with the spirit of it and the mind. But everything's entangled. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to our discussion next week.
Well, I am too. And that's exactly where I was going. Michael, I want to tell you, I've had a great time tonight. You're always awesome, anyhow.
Stop.
Well, you are, and so I've had a great time. I hope everyone in our chat room has had an interesting time too. And thanks for your feedback into the chat. You're all there. I am really looking forward to next week, and I will be absolutely prepared to do a body, thought, mind integration using the chakras meditation. Just for the record, I do it to get us grounded, not to beam us off the planet. So
is that the week after we do that one?
Yeah, we'll do that one later.
Okay.
So, again, thanks very much, Michael, and I want to say thanks to everybody in the chat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being here with us, and thanks to everyone for joining us. And I believe the traditional outro is think, learn, live, and grow. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.